As you open your mind, let life be the thought. As you open your eyes, let life be the glow. As you open your ears, let life be the melody. Layer after layer after layer. As you open your nose, let life be the scent. As you open your mouth, let life be the breath. And as you open your hands, let life be the flesh. Layer after layer after layer. And as you open your heart, let life be the heat. As you open your soul, let life be the torch. As you open your being, let life be the juice. Layer after layer after layer. Good evening, wherever you are. Good morning, early morning on the East Coast. Oh, let me tell you, you are listening to the Insight Hour on bbsradio.com. And yes, Dr. Leonard Horowitz isn't here this evening, but don't let Dad stop you from listening in, for Reverend Roxy will do her best to fill in the shoes of the one who would dare to inspire us all to raise our voices in perfect harmony and in the spiritual reality of the realm of the Creator to sing one song. Yes, this is the goal here as we begin to look at the Goliaths in all of our lives. Oh, my goodness. So now is the time to begin to create the spiritual ammunition you're going to need that when the Goliath starts to overwhelm your life, you'll be able to back up. Back up. And I pray that all of us out there will have this, for there is no fear in a society that is full of faith in, you know what, the Creator. So we have created this experiment, which you can start to read about on LIVEH2O.org. Go there, read our intentions for what's going to happen June 19th. Through the 21st in 2009. You know, you have to have a crystal vision in order to see that far, especially with everything that's going on. And I know for those of you who have God in your life, you know God gives you the strength and the wisdom to know what next. That's why I know. Not a lot of callers on, on the mainstream, because they don't know nothing, you see. But here on BBS Radio, we get lots of callers. We get lots of people. And the Insight Hour is Dr. Leonard Horowitz's way of communing with all of you, this intention for fine-tuning for perfection, in which we all begin to experience the power of being truly divine human beings. Oh, yes. And in the spirit of this is why we need to have this concert. In other words, to begin to conduct and to begin to create a vibe, a tone, that will create a spontaneous mass motion of what? Approval for what? For love to come into our lives. Surrendering, not getting caught up, not allowing one to destroy your happiness. The breath of life. The breath of life. This is it. The breath of life. This is what nourishes the spirit, the mind, the soul, the brain. Oh, without oxygen, without water. Oh, yes, and it's a scientific fact, folks. The universe, like Dr. Horowitz said, is full of water. And it's not just Dr. Horowitz that's saying it. It's something we've been knowing as far back as 1969. There's a spectrum out there. There's a way of looking at the universe and breaking it down into a light reality that all and every everything are waves, light waves, gravity waves, all kinds of waves. How do you catch them? How do you ride them? How do you harness them? Oh, same thing in your spiritual reality. Oh, engineering this, the body temple, the glorified, oh, image of the one left in us, imprinted on our soul, left in the soil for us to till. This is our duty. So for those of you who may not know, this is BBSRadio.com, and I am Reverend Roxy, and I am filling in for Dr. Horowitz. And for anybody out there that want to ask a question, you know, just call in, jump in on this wonderful conversation, because it can only get better as we move through the evening here for the hour, and then get ready for my main concern. Next to Dr. Horowitz, in terms of inspiring people to the truth, I believe that all of you who are listening now will tune in also to Evident Footprints. And that is the show that comes on after us, and I can't tout that show more. I listened last night, right on, Don, right on, Don, and right on. And that, talk on. Because a lot of, you know, if people were to transcribe what is being said and really dissect it, then you'd understand what Don is saying in terms of the lineage. Also, Dr. Len is talking about, when he talks about these connections, you see. I'm waiting for the first presidential candidate to step up to the plate and just absolutely say, you know, one of the things I have agreed with all my life is that the government has got to get out of our medical business, out of the medical business. You see, this is where all the insane playing is coming from. Now, hold on just a second. I'm hoping that this is going to work. I'm going to change phones because I do not want to get cut off here. And that would just be a tragedy. As you are listening to the Inside Hour, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you a little history here, you know, just a little history lesson about what we may be coming to when we talk about the eternal reoccurrence, that we are riding a Dharma wheel, a karma wheel, or whatever you want to look at it. It's cyclic in nature and it's repetitive until we as beings, and this is where the concert comes in, lift ourselves out of this earthly matter and begin to spin and create the vortexes that will create the energy that will allow us to elevate ourselves, to ascend. This isn't new age stuff. This is old age stuff. This stuff is so primal. This stuff is like getting back to the garden, understanding why it is that Adam was God's creation, you know. And in what sense did this creation be created for? Not to till the soil, not to scorch it, or pave it over, or do all kinds of experiments and extract the life out of it to create death in us, to do soil cultures. Well, now it's time for us to create the soul culture. And this is really difficult to grasp. But it has to do with our DNA. It has to do with everything that has come before that brought you to this moment of evolution in the revolution of your life to be the very best that you can be. Because there's enough people out there who find it easy to be the worst they can be. They are practicing when they're getting good in the divisiveness, and the crises, and the economic turmoil, and the spiritual questioning, and the unfaith and unbelieving. It's got to stop, folks. This goes all the way back to Babel. This goes all the way back. So listen up. I just want to give you a little slice here, because this is insight, and I'm hoping this works here. We got it going on. This is a little bit from a time before. It's like 1929. Put on your, I'm hoping it doesn't get garbled. It's not very long, and I'm hoping that Seth's at the wheel and maybe he can back it up or bring it up to snuff so that you can hear what I'd like to share with you. And then we will continue. And I do want you to know that everything that I am sharing with you is, it may sound like doom and gloom, but it doesn't have to sound like that. It can sound like the joyful noise days of truth, in a day of the clamor that allows us to wake up. Wake up. You know what I mean? Just wake up. That would be so wonderful if we could just all simultaneously wake up. You know.
How did it begin? Was it that September evening when the newspapers carried the story that something had gone wrong at Wall Street and the mysterious forces that control such matters had decreed that stocks should go tumbling? Or was it when you heard that Italian soldiers had invaded a place called Ethiopia? I think for most of us, it began one chilly March day in 1933 in the city of Washington, District of Columbia. They had built a special platform for the swearing-in ceremonies on the steps of the Capitol building, a practice that goes back to Lincoln's day and before. Mr. Roosevelt, within seconds to be President Roosevelt, stood straight and firm before the Chief Justice. Few in the crowd noticed that he was holding on tightly to the speaker's rostrum, but that was part of his story. The words spoken there were flung to the nation.
I, President Delano Roosevelt, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the orders of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
He had many things to say that day, but there was one sentence that summed up best what he was trying to tell us.
First of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to fall in love. Why the butcher, the baker, the old candlestick maker.
We wrote songs about it. Even the things we were afraid of, and fear was a very real thing that year of Little Grace, 1933. It was a thousand fears all blended together. It was deserted stockyards in Chicago and bread lines in Albuquerque. It was ships rusting unused at the wharves of San Francisco. It was the distinguished-looking gentleman selling apples on Fifth Avenue and 34th Street in New York. And a frightened little guy playing the piano in an almost empty nightclub just off Broadway. Many things and difficult to explain to those who have come after. How do you tell about the day all the banks were closed? March the 5th. The late winter rain beat down on Pennsylvania Avenue. The rain that day in Baltimore, too, in Richmond. The cold rain that slapped at the dismal lines of men and women standing before the doors of the banks. There were other lines in other cities. They wanted their money back because banks weren't to be trusted in those days. Then the order came. All banks are closed by executive order, effective immediately. And then, 1 week later, the explanation. It was the first fireside address, a report from the man in charge, and a whole nation listened in.
My friends, I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking. First of all, let me state the simple fact that when you deposit money in a bank, the bank does not put the money into a safe deposit vault. It invests your money in many different forms of credit, in bonds, in commercial paper, in mortgages, and in many other kinds of loans. In other words, the bank puts your money to work to keep the wheels of industry and of agriculture turning around.
The banks were opened again and things seemed a little brighter. We began to learn a new...
You see what I'm saying, folks? And I hope that that wasn't too distressing to you in terms of your ears and on the archives. I hope that it does come out. Or if it doesn't come out, then I'll never do it again. But I just had to try to get in your head what I'm talking about here as to the kind of power that the presidency had in 1933. And 1933, when we got a new president, in less than a few days, he closed the banks. Now, people say, oh, what make you think that they won't do that? What make you think that they're going to do that? And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, really look at it. We've had so many commissions. I mean, if you really, really look at it, you'd understand why I'd be laughing if I was to have to answer it, because it was just so embarrassing as an American to have to answer a question like this as to how I know how corrupt everything really is and how very few politicians or leaders that say they care about us really care about us. And everybody says, oh, well, you're preaching to the, if you're on bbsradio.com, you're preaching to the choir. And I'm saying, I hope so. And the whole congregation that follows through the sphere of influence of the choir. And I just wanted to remind everybody, since you're talking about choirs, we're talking about 144,000 voices. And let me tell you, I do know this. We may not all be able to speak at the same time, but I do know that we can make a heavenly tone all at once. And this is the experiment that's going to take place. So really, 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 really get excited and try and tune into the love frequency and the color green. And when you look at this, you'll be looking at it from a point of view of the things that are important to us. And chlorophyll is green, you see. And chlorophyll is what is a byproduct of something that comes to us through the benevolence of the Creator. And that is water that is uptake through the soil with the minerals and everything and the certain chemicals and the carbons. And then it makes chlorophyll, and that makes the color green. And green is growth, and green is, it was the color of our money. Now it's got kind of like a red tint to it, which I saw. I was like, oh, wow, they're really even telling us as they're making the money and printing it, as it gets less green and more got the blues, and then it's got the reds, and you see it starts to fade, and you start to see it all streaked, and they've done everything in their power to make us think that the money that they are printing is real. And see, that's the same government and the same people in control that have us all wanting to be convinced that what they say is good for us is good for us. And this is the biggest joke if you really do your homework, which is what needs to happen here. More people need to fill people in. Sometimes as talk show hosts, we get a little excited and we start talking about things that we assume everybody knows about, and boom, then what happens? Oh my goodness, you're just trapped. And that's why as the Insight Hour grows and as people begin to understand what it is that we are trying to offer here, you begin to see a little bit more of a refreshing way to go, you know. It was someone who said a while back, and it's kind of interesting that they said that the truth is so precious. Now, only stupid would say something like this, and I'll tell you who stupid was in the body of, you see, because my father said there's only 7 mean, rotten, nasty people in the world. They just keep moving around a lot. Anybody want to talk about that, they can too. I mean, if you've met one, I'd like to hear about it. We need to locate it, because sometimes it's your boss, sometimes it's even one of your children. Sometimes you get a hold of them. But this one said, the truth is so precious, it should always, she should always be attended by a bodyguard of lies. Oh, my goodness. Who could say something like that? The truth is so precious, it should always be attended by a bodyguard of lies. Winston Churchill. Yes, you're absolutely correct for those of you who may not know. Yeah, Winston Churchill said something like that. Now, who says things like that? Well, stupid people say things like that. People drunk on the power of being in charge say things like that, you know. You know, tonight is an opportunity. Why you say, well, what is it that Reverend Roxy doing with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and how do both of our ideas as human beings in these here right now times, because that's all I can deal with is right now. And right now our affections are being divided, and yet I'm going to stay stuck to the story, because I believe that if I stay stuck to the truth, if I just stay stuck to the truth, that we will come through with more enlightenment about what's going on very quickly. We've got to turn the light on. That's the most important thing that the Inside Hour has to do in 2008 is to turn the light on. And all and everybody, every talk show host, every journalist, this is your opportunity. Wouldn't you feel just a little bit stupid if you did not tell what you know right now so that we can work in 2009 with great clarity and divine wisdom to prepare everybody to expect an effect from the insane playing, whether it be through the vaccinations or our fascination with atomic energy, our fascination with hot plasma and containing things in magnetic forces and working in the nanotechnology to do things and cloaking devices so that you can begin to get an upper hand. Oh, is that the thinking of anyone that you can look in history and see? See, that's why I love listening to Don Nikoloff's program, because he's going right straight to the heart of the matter. If you're not going to go back to the Russian Revolution and work your way forward, it's what happened to all the money and how they all agreed as a brotherhood to just go on ahead and just get settled in, knowing that eventually what's 50 years, what's 100 years when it comes to winning the prize, so to speak, doing the great work, you know. I mean, you can see where American politicians and American leaders and advisors in Roosevelt's time and in Truman's time took a hold of all of their things that they were doing. You know, when Don is talking about Project Paperclip, when Dr. Len is talking about Project Paperclip, it's not like we're talking about some unknown thing. And so then you see our government go, so what? Yeah, if you know, how could it be bad? But then when you look at it and you say, oh, my goodness, yes, yes. If they were so impressed with German technology in terms of rockets and large reflectors that could be focused on us and heat up the ocean and kindle the forests and create all kinds of terror, that they would see it coming from on far and that they could do it real quick. But there was something that really impressed the Americans about these here rocket scientists that were working in the Nazis. And they just decided to help the Nazis go underground. And this is where we all agree. And when you move forward, and when you look at it real careful, and when you begin to look at all the people that surround you, you can really see why in 2008 we have a choice between John McCain, Obama, a senator from Illinois, and Hillary from Illinois, now in New York, state senator from, and all of them are there. This must make the man at the top giddy. This must be one of those ones where they're defining and coming up with new put-downs for whatever is going on over here, because the dumbed-down masses ain't doing their homework. But I'll tell you, people ask me all the time, what's the similarity between between Hillary and Obama? And I would have to say it's their parents, you know, Rob Ham and Dunham. All of them done, Rotted Ham and Dunham. Yeah, Dunham. What are we trying to say here, folks? That Reverend Roxy is just trying to let you know that it's all been but a done deal as far as the physical world is concerned. That is why your energies and everything should be put into the divine and into the spiritual and into the ways to ward off stupid, to see it coming close and personal, not to get all that crazy about wanting to change it, because by now it's made its decision. If you see it in the youth, if you see it in the youth and you feel that you can create that free will to want to conduct its behavior in a way that will allow it to model itself after the image of the divine in the first place, the creator, whew, then you got a chance. But even then, this seven souls that keep possessing us, and it's a large thing, can take over large groups of people. But this advanced thinking of the Germans, this is what America bought back when, before even the war was over. You can look and see them all there at the Battle of the Bulge. You can see how we've been bounced back and forth between Kissinger and President Nitsky, or whatever his name. When the Democrats get in, it's President Nitsky. When the Republicans get in, it's Kissinger. How do these men get so far so quick? Just young whippersnappers from someplace else come over here. Is this? You see what I'm saying, folks? You got to look around in your own world and see how the fascist organizations within our nation kept us divided in race while they raped our economy and are ready to pull the rug out from underneath us. This is why you need to pray, you see. This is why you need to pray, and you need to stay in touch with the reality of stupid. Stupid is out to create problems. You know, it started a long time ago. It didn't start with Eve, where I'm coming from. It started with a woman named Madam C. I call her Curie. She was curious, and she needed to do a paper all the time. It has to do with universities, getting together with government, politicians seeing opportunities to make large sums of money, to where you have secret operations, you see, and secret operations that are funded by the government that can't get the information about it, so there's no oversight. Oh, it's a treadmill. Do I hear the candidates talking about it? No, not really. Do they really understand what's eating at the very fabric of America and Americans? Do they understand that most of us are too acid, corrosive, belligerent, arrogant? We know what we know because we heard it on CNN, or we got it over the net, or we heard it. How do you get your information, and how do you know what you know? This is going to be the big question when people stand up to speak. How do you know what you know? And the question that I ask of all three candidates is, how do you truly understand the American experience as one of disappointment in its government for the scandalous way in which it has dealt with our finances and the scandalous way in which it has conducted itself in terms of its morality, and a scandalous way in which it has squandered the resources of almost two-thirds of this planet in less than 100 years? And why is it that now, as Americans, we can't stand up and say to the world, yeah, stupid got on board the train, but just because stupid got on board the train don't mean this train is going in a different direction, and we are headed in the righteous and right direction. And that is that it is now time to accept responsibility, personal responsibility for what's going on in the world, and to step up spiritually and begin to pray out loud for the people who believe that they are leading us in a righteous idea of world domination for the sake of the lesser, so that the few can enjoy more. Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you, folks, why it is that I am so impressed with the continence of Dr. Leonard Horowitz in terms of what he's been saying for the past, since he lost his job telling the truth? It's so easy to make the decision to stand in the sun all your life. And I speak of Obama this way as a curiosity. This is not what the people need, is a curiosity, a person with an appetite for the European. Oh, America, we are dealing with something that is even more incredible, because this has to do with nationalism. This has to do with being Eurocentric. This has to do with DNA that goes all the way back. We in it. And then after that, when you get up there, when they really started handling that light, again, I talk about radium as being the big How you say? Makes me want to sigh when I think about history and I think about Lord Rutherford getting cancer in his waistcoat pocket because he put the stuff there because they didn't know. Like children. And yet, you know, the spirit spoke to them in 1904 and told them not to mess with this, to leave it alone, to not inquire into it anymore. And still with the pride of your mathematical manipulations, you tried to figure it all out. And then here come Einstein, and he helped you figure it out. And by 1932, you had it all going on. I can even say before that, 1919, you know, they were smashing the atom. And that great power and energy that was coming, where was it diverted? Into the rivers, into the waters. Do you understand why it is that we have to have this concert on June 19th? We've got to change the structure of the water, for it has been polluted so much. It has been polluted. And we have to begin to deal with all these underground wells and all these underground tunnels that are right outside our cities that have been burrowed. And where is all this stuff? Because these are the things that we're talking about as we begin to prepare to batten down the hatches. Yes, if you think of us as being in water and space, then the only thing that we possibly can do is batten down the hatches. And that is to seal ourselves up in an armor of truth. And that takes me to David, because when you talk about armor, you talk about the kind of armor that they were wearing. You know, there were very few spaces on their bodies where they were vulnerable to a cutting sword. They might get hit with a battle axe or something like that, but no cut of the skin. And David was not just about protecting himself. He spent his wealth protecting his own, protecting his other warriors. And I see an analogy there that I will expect out of the President of the United States, and I'm talking spiritually, because we're going to be found out that we've been manipulating the world politics, and we're going to be found out to having been very, very cozy in bed with a whole lot of people all over the world, because there's this invisible government that we got to smack down. You know, and I don't hear Hillary, and never will hear Hillary say anything about it. You know, she's known the secrets of this pitiful government for since 1973 when she graduated from Yale. Insight, you want insight? Isn't it interesting that she's from Chicago originally and now a black man, well, half, you know, a Dunham, you know, is now running, and he represents the south side of Chicago, kind of like probably could do a song about bad man Obama, you know. I don't know. I don't know what a man metal is that has been formed by the legal system. I don't know. When I look at it, I see a Hillary, and I go back to the Whitewater investigation, and when I look at just the simple chronology, I see her just like John McCain. These attorneys, through their own manipulation of the statutes, can just scoot right in there, and it's, you've got to, in order to be president, I've told you many times, the insight there is you have to have successfully escaped prosecution. But you had to have committed crimes, you see. And it's the only way that you can deal with it. And when you look at the chronology, if you go back and you do your homework, just type in chronology of Whitewater, and you know, or go to the summary of Fitz's case and look at the chronology, you'll see why it is that Vince Foster had to leave the scene and the whole thing and how they conduct themselves. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, America, don't you care about these people and how they make their judgments and how they are conducting themselves now and what might be other foreign powers like Russian intelligence or German intelligence or Vatican intelligence or any other kind of intelligence might have on these people? Are these people squeaky clean? Is that what's necessary? Are they connected? Or are they connected, you see? It's an incredible thing to run for President of the United States, because I don't see it as being run for President of the United States, more like being pushed, you know? It's like, and the way the rules are now, it's not even running. It's like already like, well, just insert the candidate. Here's the face right here. You've seen the face, and this is what's going to end up being. And And yet, once again, there's shenanigans going on in California. Oh, yeah, they got the bubble. And at the bubble, a lot of people's votes were not counted. Like, a lot of votes were not counted. And they're into it up to whatever, but it has something to do with an extra bubble that they were supposed to punch. See, this stuff is really incredible, folks, and it's why people don't want to vote. But don't, because, you know, like you said, in our power, we have in our power this one little thing, you know, something that we've lived through Jim Crow and poll taxes and everything else. In this here February, Black History, I'm saying to everybody out there, hold on to your vote. Yes, this is going to be an overwhelming decision, and hopefully it'll be for a dark horse candidate that steps up to the plate and says, you know, I just got to counteract a lot of this stupid. And what I mean by that is the evil. I'm really, really, really would love to hear from an attorney, you know, if they're listening, as to why it is that I believe that we don't need an attorney in the Oval Office. I don't need 4 years of litigation. What I need is 4 years of an inquisition into how it is both the Democratic and Republican parties conduct themselves. And the history, and going back to all the commissions, maybe just starting with the one in 52, and then working yourself to 57, and then going up to the Warren Commission, and then down on into the Church and Pike Commissions, and then over and over and into all these commissions. And once you have all these commissions, then have a few confessions, because I must tell you, America, that if we don't get these people to explain to us this thing that they call their plan, and I have no fear, I hope you don't either. I hope that your prayers and your belief in God and in your regime for your day creates health and wealth for you as we know it. It's a real judgment call. You know, I was listening to Evident Footprints here on bbsradio.com, which comes on Monday through Friday, and it comes on right after Inside Hour, which comes to you at 7 o'clock Big Island and 9 o'clock San Francisco. And, you know, just figure it out. Go to the schedule. Check it out. And I can't say enough about bbsradio.com in terms of the ability for those people on the East Coast. Tell your friends, start listening to the archives, you know, spring for the $24.95 or the $2 a month, and stay in tune, because there may be something that someone says on this station that will allow you to make the decision to do what you need to do to prepare and not be run around and like chickens with your heads cut off, or you'll get some clarity. That's what's important, because we need to do that. We need to get clarity as to where and what to do next. And so I pray, and praying is good, but eventually you got to get up off your knees, and you got to go out, and you got to do it, you know. I'm talking about a whole lot of things, but they're all coming together as we move in space, and as our thoughts move at the speed of light. Oh, we've got to get the picture right. Starlight, star bright. You know, when Dr. Len talks about water, he also talks about ice, he talks about gas forms, he talks about how these cold dust grains, of which only 1% is gas, so you could see how incredible the whole idea of creation could be. We're talking about vapor versus ice. The vapor, this exchange, this vapor exists, this hydrogen gas exists throughout the entire universe. And I don't need to explain to anybody. Sorry about that, but I had to switch phones. And I'm hoping I was successful at doing so. That can be quite disconcerting, I know. I'm going to go over here and check the time. I'm home alone here, but I'm hoping that I'm making sense to you, that this is so intertwining and so incredible that you have to be on your toes. You have to be able to hear, see, experience it. make some serious conclusions, make some generalizations, and then move. This is the idea of life itself, its motility, its irritability, its joy, its love, its an ability to express these things and to share it. A lot of times people point to, like they say, Babylon, and they talk about Babylon, and I like to talk about the Tower of Babel, you know, because it was one of the first times that God said, you know what, you guys, you just don't got to do you, and since you don't get it, I put you down here on earth, and what do you do? What do you do? You build a tower to the sky. Out of what? Out of bricks made out of what? Out of earth. That's not what I put all this good soil here for. And boy, that sure didn't, the creator was, because you know, in the beginning, what did they have? You had the heavens, you had the earth. He created heaven, he created earth. It was all one, huh? You understand? Which then explains the Big Bang, but then it all got kind of put in place because the power of the creator was incredible. He could see something. Just like man thinks that it can control the atomic flow of things, I don't know about that. You see, I am not convinced. And now they want to confuse us with fusion and create big magnets and take up city blocks of the universe to prove their ability to control and harness the power of the stars. Oh, this stuff is really silly. You know what I'm saying? And then when you think about it, this is where your money went. You know, you wonder where your money went when you put your trust in the government. Oh, I just made that up. I don't know. Maybe I didn't make it up. Maybe I heard it somewhere. But it does bear repeating many times as you go through your day. You'll wonder where your money went when you put your trust in the government. And like many other systems, I sing it all the time, and what has befallen other systems will soon befall our own. 100 lessons in economics, and the one thing you ain't ever going to hear, any person who's really astute at economics is going to tell you that fiat currency is a good idea. You see, that's only as good as the economy that drives it, and it has to be honest. It has to be so honest in its wealth, and it has to have stored up wealth. And the only stored up wealth that we as Americans have right now is labor. And it looks like maybe, just maybe, and I know it sounds kind of pessimistic, but it may be that where we prove our mettle is right there in those concentration camps, in those work camps, in those slave labor camps, for those of us who are strong enough to pay our way out of the debt that our American brothers have put us in. Now, how's that? Everybody up for the challenge? If you read the Bible, if you read history, mass exodus and mass movals of people throughout the universe has always happened. It first starts with the terror, it starts with the uncertainty of your own society, and then it moves forth with the certainty as you begin to be created and corralled into places that are not your own homes, and you're made to live, and with the survival techniques that you have, you either survive or you don't. Now, this is the heartless world in which we live. If we were to look at the rest of the world, this is happening to everybody else. What makes any American here today think that it could not happen to us? And if it did happen to us, how many heroes would we see? How many survivors? Or perhaps as a race, were wiped off the face of the planet. And the only people that can speak are the ones who were smart enough to get out. There is a mass exodus for the place called someplace other than here. And that's a shame, you know, that so many people are leaving. I mean, really leaving. Absolutely saying, I am going on a permanent vacation. I and my family, we're selling everything. We've got it all figured out, and we're going here. You know, there's a whole book, you know, that's called, I think it was written, you can type it into your search engine, Get Out. And it's a book that has all the places where people are going, you know what I mean, that they're going to places that are other than America to get out. And that in itself, you know, George Washington said, if you want to remember something he said, George Washington said, if your country offends you, leave it in quiet resignation. And that, for some people, is an option. But I don't see that as an option for many Americans. And those that already have that option, they've already gotten out. And you know who they are because you can see them in the supermarket stores. They're on the front pages of a lot of ex-papers, ex-Americans leaving. They're leaving. They're in Africa. They're setting up things in other countries. The wealth, you see, this faux wealth that is surrounded by by Hollywood. That's why, you know, the other thing that I want to tell you is that if you want to see a little bit of what was the last big gift that Dr. Len had for you all, and that would be in Lives We Trust. You know, for anybody that wants to contact me, just hit my thing and send me an email. Best way you can get it over to Raisin, RAISIN_Kane, CANE, and at juno.com. And I will try to get out to you one of the In Lives We Trust. Or you can go to YouTube and Google and type in Lives We Trust and just take your time and maybe, you know, watch each segment. In fact, it's there for your viewing pleasure and downloading and everything. And this is what it's about, you know. It's about getting the message out, you know. I was talking to a friend the other night. I said, you know, it'd be funny if Paul Revere came back, you know. He made Revere wear. He was a copper, you know. He probably was banging on a pot while he was riding his horse. And you can imagine how many people are like, oh, will you just go back to bed? You know, the British are coming. Well, it's not a bad thing, is it? And, you know, some people aren't up to snuff about what's going on in the world. And how many of us are going to have the time except tell them you better have great faith in something. If it ain't in your neighbor, then it better be in yourself. So that decision is with you, and I got to go. And maybe they'll follow you, and maybe they won't. But whatever it is, you've made your choices. And that's the way we're going to have to conduct ourselves in times of crisis, because we're going to be asked to do some serious, serious examinations in terms of what rights are still left. And that's the insight we're talking about here. They developed the vaccines. They've made them like 25 years ago. It don't matter if they're 25 years old. They're going to give them to us anyhow. They're not going to give us a choice. They are going to tell us to line up and get it or go over there. You look over there and there'll be some nasty little person that looks like one of those airport people. It's not like I'm trying to put you all down that's doing that. A job is a job, but think about it. Does God work that way? You see? And this whole thing of screening and screening people is getting ridiculous. Soon you won't know whether or not they're turning you into terrorists or whether you are really a terrorist. You see what I'm saying? Because they're going to take you to the limit of endurance. And they learned what makes people feel uncomfortable. They used to do it to the prisoners and the mental patients back in the 70s. So they know how to get you goat. And I know you know it, too. I mean, you know, when you go walking into state buildings, they... you're submitting to it all, and yet the people that are actually doing the gun running and the drug dealing, they got on the special little pins that they get to go through, and nobody checks them. They got things like diplomatic immunity. But we know all this, right? And it really doesn't matter, does it? Or does it? And that's why it isn't going to be something that we say. It's going to be something that we sing. And on that day, the song will be so soulful that the heavens will open, and a joyous proof, actual proof of what love and what happens when humanity directs its attention to the greatest gift, water, to the mist, even as it is within our own bodies, in every cell of our body. It's got water and a mystical fluid called cytoplasm. And, oh, you know, I mean, the Creator was just right on the day that this system called us was created. And then to fine-tune it for perfection and set it in a place where the radiant energy would not tamper with it, so that it would maintain its proper tweakness. And then we make bad decisions, and now we have knowledge of good and evil, because way back when our somebody's, the original somebody's, they had a choice, and they took the route to have knowledge of good and evil, and so that didn't give us the opportunity to get the lecture on eternity and how immortal that there was a little thing in us that said, you know, but now that you had an ate of that fruit, you know, there's no way for me to bestow upon you or let you know. And this is the thing that I think is becoming liberating. It's this thing called longevity. I think that this is why now the supplements, you know, you want some insight on that in terms of what they're discovering about the human body and the forces. I'm coming down to the end of the show, and it's been just absolutely hunky-dory and pleasurable to be here. You're listening to the Inside Hour, and I've been filling in for Dr. Len Horowitz. I hope that you've enjoyed yourself. You know, I hope that you'll check out tetrahedron.org, and again, I can't tell you enough how much I want you to check out Live, LIVEH2O, yes, .org, and check out our intention for the concert, To the Living Waters. And I'm telling you, you know, the world is flooded with water, and it's important that we really understand that if we begin to set it straight, and then we are able to then rain that water down, which is full of our intentions for love and joy in the world, we will have ourselves one mighty, 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 mighty celebration of what the divinity of the universe can do for all of us, in all of us, for all times. And with that, you know, it's important for you to understand. I want you all to pray for Dr. Len, as he is right now dealing with some very, very tedious elements of stupid that has come up to kind of. So we're hoping that all of you out there in BBS and beyond land will send a prayer out to Dr. Len in the coming days, and stay tuned, for we will let you know what's going on over here on the Big Island in Hawaii. With that, I'm going to say good night, and I'm also going to say stay tuned for Evident Footprints with Don Nikoloff. I hope that he continues to speak on the issues that are facing us really in the real world with the economics and the whole Wanta thing. So with that, I'm going to let them get set up, and I love you all, and remember, as you open your being, let life be the juice. Aloha.